This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today on the program, we're speaking with Mr. Chris Jankolowski. He is the author of Near Death Lessons, A Dream, A Terminal Illness, An Extraordinary Life Gained from 8 Near-Death Experiences. And Chris, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me on your show, Eric. Appreciate it.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome, and I'm sure we're going to learn a lot from you here today, for sure, and leaving us with plenty of takeaways. So first of all, how does staying in a victim mentality stop you from living a deliberate life? Let's start there.
You know, I was in a victim mentality, Eric, for 13 years, and I didn't even know it. I was in a victim mentality. It all started when I was 19, and I was diagnosed with a hereditary condition. The doctor said, listen, Chris, we've got good news. We know the reason why you're forming cysts and tumors in your eye. And it's this hereditary condition. It's called von Hippel-Lindau syndrome. The average life expectancy is 30. So you're not going to probably have a good long life, mate. But I've got to warn you, you might have cancers all over your body right now. That was my diagnosis at 19. No one knew about von Hippel-Lindau syndrome back then very well. And no one gave me any leaflets, no brochures, no flyers, no support. They just left me out of the clinic and said, off you go. And I just went in my car, cried for 2 weeks. I didn't know how to handle it. And what does the 19-year-old do confronting such news? Well, you ignore it. So I ignored it. And then when I ignored my diagnosis, and I thought if I pretend I never got it, it doesn't exist, it's all bullshit. I try to justify in my mind all these things. And then I was deep down ignoring it and running away from it as much as I can, thinking that if I do so really, really deeply, that it will actually cease to exist. Unfortunately, that running away from that diagnosis made me run away from other life's problems. Anytime something got challenging, I backed out. Anytime something was, confronting, and I often found myself doubtful or disheartened, I often found myself running away from other life's challenges. And only when I had a brain operation many years later that made a profound transformation in me and finally made me shift my focus and to self-empowerment, and I've been living a self-empowered life now for 17, 18 years, it's only now, looking in hindsight, that I was able to distinguish, holy cow, a victim mindset is anyone running away from life's problems, anyone not taking life on, that person, whether they know it or not, is running away from many other problems in their life.
When I was listening to you, I couldn't even imagine not only hearing that kind of news and that diagnosis, but to hear that at the age of 19, man, that is, like you said, brutal for sure. Tell me, what are the three main steps needed to live a deliberate life? That's certainly what we're keying on here today.
Yeah, look, so every year, because I live my year every year as if it's my last year of life. And it's like a game I play with myself, because every year I get scans, I get new cancers or new tumors. I have to have an operation here or there, or sometimes I get always my mortality challenge, basically. So one way I manage living life fully is to live as if every year is my last year, because that notion of live as if it's your last day alive every day gave me anxiety too much. And so, by living a year as if it's my last year alive, I can live a more deliberate life. I can live more strategically. I can plan things a little bit better. So every year I live a deliberate life by simply doing one thing. First, I look at the year that was. Like right now, we can look back in the year of 2022 and look at our phones, January, February, March, April, all, and so on, and see every month, looking at those photos, those occasions, and those experiences of maybe who you've become and all that stuff. Look at that and say, well, how much of 2022 did I really live a deliberate life, or did I just leave the year happen organically? Because a lot of us just seem to live our lives as passing by, responding to this, reacting to this, and so on. But if you live a deliberate life, you will see clues throughout the year that you've achieved this, you've set out to do this, you've done this, and so on. They're going to be everywhere on your phone. So that's one thing. I first acknowledge in a state of gratitude, these were the moments over the year of 2022 that I actually did live a deliberate life. Once I've reviewed the year, I then gather other images of things that maybe interest me or provide me a little bit of energy or put a smile on my face. I just gather images, because the biggest thing to live in a deliberate life and to live a life with full intention is to have clarity. The biggest problem with people is that we don't have clarity. And I find clarity a lot in first looking at images, because our brain responds so much to images. It's the way to get through to your subconscious mind very fast. An image communicates to us so much in so many words, you know, deep down. And when I find a few images that resonate with me, I then explore my desire. Why does this image make me happy? Or why does this image motivate me? Or why am I showing interest in something? I then observe, I evaluate my desires. I go through a process of evaluating those. And then I categorize those images. And then I rate those images, you know, 1 to 10 of how important this is and why it matters enough for me to actually do something about it and schedule. And then I do the most important step of all, which is to make sure I schedule and plan consistent, small, tiny, tiny steps towards it. You know, throughout a whole year, Eric, if you make little steps towards your intentions, you'll be surprised how far you can go. I mean, I learned how to walk over 8 months after a second brain operation by somebody swinging my hip, because my left leg had zero control. And then my synapses fired and I started walking bit by bit. And it's the same thing with us achieving our goals. It's the same thing with us achieving a deliberate life year on year. It is just doing making those consistent little steps day in, day out. So that's how I live a deliberate life.
I really do appreciate that. And coming from you, that certainly does mean a lot for sure. Really appreciate it. Now, also tell me, how can you stretch your own personal boundaries? People don't like to stretch the boundaries. They don't like to go outside of those boundaries, which is change. And it's uncomfortable, but get into that a little bit, if you would.
Personal boundaries, they're fascinating. So after my second brain operation, where one of my brain tumors burst in my right hemisphere, leaving my left side of my body fully affected, the doctor said that, Chris, all your connections are severed. Like they're all gone. I mean, since you were born, all that crawling, all that walking, all that movements, they're all just gone. Your body's still fine, your hands still fine, your legs still fine, everything's still fine, except all your brain patterns are chopped. And the occupational therapist said, well, Chris, you know, our brains are full of brain patterns, and you know, our brain wants to consume as little energy as possible. And therefore, as you repeat a pattern or a habit or a behavior over and over, it gets deeper and deeper in your brain, and your brain fires off faster, deeper synapses, and it's less energy. So I'm sharing this story about how do we break through those our own personal kind of boundaries, because our own boundaries starts with our understanding our brain patterns are those boundaries. Our brain is so lazy, it does not want to change, because change requires energy, and forming new brain pattern is energy, and the brain already consumes 20% of our body energy. So where is this energy going to come from? And that's on automatic, on default, nothing mode. So to actively transform your mind and therefore break through boundaries and limitations you might put on yourself, first is to observe your responses and reactions and your behavior to certain things. You got to recognize those boundaries for starters. The biggest issues with boundaries is when we can recognize them properly and do not judge them. Do not just observe them. And then you got to stop entertaining them. Remember, they are just your perceptions. And the biggest problem to these things is how you perceive them in the first place. So your goal to break through your boundaries is to start with understanding that you need to break these brain patterns that always get you in this position of perceiving these boundaries in the first place. And the more you just break them by just first being aware of when it's happening, then taking note or just stop for a moment and just be aware that, okay, in this situation is when I find myself you know, thinking about that boundary that of mine or my limitations, or the anytime you, to me, a boundary is anytime you have a limiting view or a limitation, because there's no limiting view. It's only our perception of how we see something. So if it's our perceptions that are limiting us, then it's our brain patterns that are limiting us. And therefore, we can change these because we can practice neuroplasticity in our minds. We can all change our brain patterns with repetition, with breaking patterns, and with slowly, slowly putting a new thought and a new response in its place. We will then naturally, whether we like it or not, form a different brain pattern. And then it's a question of how much more deeper can we do that? And that's how you break through your boundaries.
Thanks for your feedback there, and certainly appreciate your time spent with us here today. We're speaking with Mr. Chris Jankolowski. He is the author of Near Death Lessons, A Dream, here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, how can you overcome the conditioning of your early life that keeps you stuck in your comfort zone, and why is that so important?
You know, I think when we all live our lives, yeah, we time just passes on, and before you know it, we've all aged at a certain point or time. The worst thing is when you know, years and years pass away, and you go, well, Jesus, I moved into this little apartment, or I did something, and I only wanted to be there for 1 or 2 years. Next thing you know, I was there for a decade. So status quo is very dangerous because our lives are not, well, my life, unfortunately, isn't, unlike my wife, my wife is very, you know, she's grounded, she's earthy, she's settled, she wants to go easy and comfortable. I'm the opposite because my life has always been about survival. I'm always fighting for my mortality, my existence. I'm always going through transformations and changes. I'm very much always challenging the own status quo in my own life. So we are two polar opposites. But the reason why status quo is extremely important to challenge in our lives, status quo is, to me, means you're just settling. You're just settling for things the way they are. And I think you got to understand that you will never break through a change, a transformation in your life to go discover new levels of fulfillment and drive in your life if you're always stuck within this status of comfort. Comfort does not help us grow faster. Our status quo just limits us too much in terms of assuming that life has to be this way when it does not have to be that way. We can change. Status quo also refers to, well, it is how it is, and therefore, you know, just accept it and move on. So I'm always of this opinion, Eric, that, hey, we're not getting out of here alive. So why do we have to settle for the status quo? Why do we have to settle for things? Why can't we also, I find that a lot of people, when I talk about, you know, when they get comfortable and stuff, you know, I often find them spending a lot of their energy and time in the past, and they're not really showing awareness enough in the things that they might enjoy in the future. Like, we might never know that we love running a marathon if we've never ran a marathon, for example. So I guess I find that status quo is my ultimate enemy of preventing me from achieving accelerated growth, accelerated fulfillment, achievements, deep satisfaction in life, and drive. You can't be a driven person in status quo.
That is that right there. Those last few words, that is right on target right there. Good stuff. Now, you also discuss the importance of finding your purpose and the method that you can implement that. The first part of the method is to start with the end in mind. And if we all did that, I think we would certainly live different for sure. Can you explain why that is so important and meaning to start out with the end in mind?
Oh, it's fascinating. Look, I mean, I think, so I've had 8 near-death experiences. 4 of them are brutal. You know, some of them are the typical stuff, you know, where your life flashes in front of you, or I enter a different time dimension and I'm in a black void of a consciousness of kind of some eternal awareness. It's kind of a weird space. So I am always challenged with my mortality, and I am always recognizing that, oh my God, I'm not, you know, we are real mortals. We are going to really die. I know it sounds silly, but our brain has this automatic forget mode that we all just think that somebody else is going to die. We are never going to die. No way. Are we going to die? Is life going to one day end for us? Somehow all of us, well, not all of us, but a lot of us have this perception that others die and not us. So that's a trick on our minds, guys. That's a real thing. It always happens. Even after I've almost died, a few days later, I've already moved on. I'm already thinking that, oh, yeah, you know, carry on. it just, I think it's the structure of our brain is designed for us to carry on living, because we kind of might psychologically mess ourselves up too much when we think about the fact that there is an end. So, but when you really deeply think that it's an end is just as beautiful as a birth. It's part of a season. It's part of life. It's a journey. And so therefore we have our time. It allows us to be more grateful for the time that we have. And therefore I think you should always start with the end and recognize that you are not going to be here for life forever, because then you can appreciate the miracleness and the amazingness of this existence. Therefore, you can fill your life with so much abundance of gratitude. I'm always living in gratitude. It's annoying, actually, after a while. There's too much gratitude because you're just grateful for everything. And nothing, when you've got so much resilience in you, nothing shakes you. You don't respond to adversity. Oh, Chris, you're about to die tomorrow. I'll be grateful. I'll have a smile on my face. You know, it's fine, whatever. Okay, so getting back to the question. I'm sorry for getting carried away. Okay, so a clear purpose, you know, is so fulfilling. It's an inner strength, guys. You know, you can finally solve problems outside of yourself. You can actually make selfless commitments when you've got a clear purpose, because living without a clear purpose, you know, can feel dissatisfying, empty. You know, you can go from one thing to another that's unfulfilling. So I love to start with the end in mind. Again, for that same reason that I said about status quo, we're not getting out of here alive. I like to start with the end in mind, because while starting with the end in mind, I realized that first, if we want to make an impact and a real significant contribution, because I think we all strive to make our lives matter and count in some way. And honestly, it can take decades to do that. You know, building businesses that are successful and all this kind of stuff, employing thousands of people like I have, you know, that takes decades to do. So when are you going to achieve the significant impact in life, on your community, on your family, on your own life? You have to always start with the end in mind and get clarity about your purpose, that you ain't going to be around here all the time. And you have to understand your desires. You have to appreciate your true deep desires, and you have to do something about it now. If you don't start now, your time's going to pass before you know it, and you ain't going to build that time, that leeway to refine, to improve, to increase your capacities, to start building support and teams around you, and maybe generating more and more traction in whatever you set out to do. That all takes decades. So for you to make a truly incredible impact in your life, start now and work at it for the long term. So, yeah, discovering your purpose is always understanding first your mortality deep down, and then second to that, it's your secret desires. Because your secrets of desires, we all have secret desires. They're no good in 6 foot on the ground in the grave to no one. They're not going to serve anyone. They're not going to serve your family. They're not going to serve your community. So if you want to dance, the world will benefit by you dancing while you're here. Give it a go. Don't back out. You will improve over time. You will be surprised how far you can go by those teeny tiny steps. We always underestimate what we can do in a decade. So I hope that's provided some clarity.
You bet it has, and you have certainly inspired and motivated our listening audience. I have no doubt you certainly have me. Lastly, as we conclude, you talk about having an unstoppable attitude in the face of adversity. How did you maintain that and turn it around on the days when you thought you might want to give up?
Oh, thank you, Eric. A very, very important last point there. So forming a strong mindset didn't happen for me organically. It happened through adversities, after other adversities. And also it happened because I had enough of you know, that reaching that point of enough is enough. I had enough of living that victim mindset. I had enough of the doubts and insecurities. And I had enough of running away from life's problems. I said to God, enough is enough. Kill me, but I choose life. I choose to go for it. It was that time when I shifted my focus from my problems to my adversities to what I can control, and that made a transformation. And I think the biggest way one can achieve self-empowerment and an unstoppable attitude is the first step is the hardest step, but this is what I'm going to say right now. It's the most important thing for you to achieve an unstoppable mindset is to first accept your reality. Accept it. Whether it's your responsibility or not, those outcomes, just accept it. However hard it is, play that game. Because when you accept your existing reality, it's an empowering thing. It's a self-empowering moment. I will accept what's happened to me. I understand. And then, you know what happens when you accept some situation? Every time after my second brain operation, I was complaining like I was a boss going, this shouldn't happen. Let's do it again. And my wife's like, Chris, listen to you. You sound like an idiot. What are you talking about? The brain operations happened. You can't change it. That took me 2 months to come to the term of accepting what had happened to me. The moment I accepted what happened to me, I stopped wasting energy, my limited energy, on my problems, on what I can't control and all these things that happened and not fair and all this shit. I shifted my focus to what I can control, to what I can do. You know, we need to make that shift in our lives, for starters, to become, to form that unstoppable attitude. That's the first shift. The second thing I always do is after any adversity or even recognizing that I'm living a victim mindset right now is take time out, guys, stop. Because our brain doesn't just automatically wire. It takes time to form new synapses, new patterns, new thinking patterns. So go for a process time of healing. Sit with your challenges. You got to heal through them properly to form stronger, stronger mindsets. Then the last and most important point as well for transformation in terms of energy is to actively maintain hope, because hope is so powerful. Hope for the future. The future is unknown, yeah? No one knows the future except that. So why not dare hope that the best is yet to come? Why not provide that hope in your life? Because it gives you energy. It gets you into action. It gets you in this state of mind where it says, regardless of the outcome, I'm going for it. You know, I'm going to be grateful for my life, my existence. I'm going to enjoy this adventure and excuse my passion, but you know, these are some of the things that come out of me. So that's my feedback to maintaining an unstoppable attitude.
Chris, we can't thank you enough for joining us here today on the program. I tell you what, we really appreciate it for sure. And if listeners wanted to check out your book and even pick up the book, Near Death Lessons, A Dream, where's the best place to do so?
Yeah, sure. If you go to neardeathlessons.com, you'll have access down there for sure. And of course, it's on Amazon as well, your choice. And you'll find me there. It's a way to get in contact with me as well. So I've spent 6 years writing my book after my first brain tumor. So, you know, I thought I was writing it for my sons, but then a second operating experience in removing 6 cancers from my remaining half kidney now got me to say, oh, you know what, I want it's time to turn my story around to a public story. So I believe my story is powerful and needed in this time, and I think it will help a lot of people receive a new level of optimism and hope for their own lives on how they deal with their own adversity. So yeah, go to neardeathlessons.com.
And we'll certainly leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast. And I certainly believe your net message needs to be heard. We really do appreciate it. Again, folks, it is neardeathlessons.com. Mr. Jankolowski, thanks so much for joining us here today on EOTH Radio.
Hey, Eric. Thank you.
Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Chris Jankolowski. He is the author of Near Death Lessons, A Dream. And again, for all the details, visit neardeathlessons.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.